Here's what's coming up on today's show.
This decision, as we talked about at the beginning, really can change the overall outcomes because you're talking about huge differences in your monthly income.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
It's another edition of the Retirement Cafe. Walter Storholt filling in for Ben George one more time. He'll be back on the next episode with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver of Avery Wealth, the certified financial planners. Welcome to the show, and today we're going to understand Social Security. It can be confusing, especially when there is perhaps a divorce or maybe the death of a spouse. And so what we're going to do is discuss some of the common questions about benefits and ways to maximize the amount of money you receive if you fall into either of those categories. Welcome in Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. Guys, why do you think this is an important topic to discuss on today's episode?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Social Security is one of the biggest, you know, parts of any retirement income plan. Right, Brent?
Without question. And it's a bad decision here can really, really impact you and your family for the rest of your life.
Oh, there's no question. We have people come in all the time. I mean, it's so common. Divorce, obviously, unfortunately, is all too common. And then losing a spouse is horrible in itself. But not understanding all the benefits available to you in either of those cases can really hurt you. And I just had one this week where the lady came in. She had lost her husband a few years ago. And we're going to walk through some scenarios here, but she was in one of the more confusing ones where he had actually already been, he was older than her, had been receiving benefits, and then he passed away. And she's like, she was younger. She was like in her upper 50s, so she wasn't even close to beginning benefits, right? She has no idea, like, right, the different options available. And talk about giving her so much more peace of mind when she realized what she could do and some, yeah, of the options available.
Yeah, and so, I mean, a lot of this just comes down to figuring out, and there's a lot of levers in play here, but figuring out what is available to you, getting really good informed decisions, make sure that you're setting yourself up for success in retirement.
Yeah, I mean, it can make all the difference in the world. And we'll go through some examples today that it's shocking how much different your income can be from Social Security alone.
Yeah.
In your later years, if you've made a good choice or a poor choice.
Yeah, and we always want to frame Social Security as this is another one of your resources. So a lot of times people don't treat Social Security as if it were their 401k, right? Yep. They just think, well, I'm just going to get this money. I better get it now. You know, and they're not maximizing that as they should.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is just helping you make a decision and this is your money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Always keep that in mind.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because like, people will freak out about a 10% decline in their 401k, but yet they'll make a choice that results in 25% less money from Social Security for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess I never really thought about it that way, but that's so true. Yeah, for the rest of your, do you want a, you know, 25% penalty on your 401k for the rest of your life? No, I don't want to do that. Don't sign me up for that. Okay, sign right here for your Social Security.
We'll just do it over here then. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's good stuff. All right. So let's maybe start out with one of the tougher parts of this conversation, with maybe someone who is divorced, since that does affect half of households in America these days. What are some basic rules that need to be considered?
Yeah. And I mean, this is really just, we want to start out with like some of the things that you have to check off, like the boxes you have to check off to even have eligibility for some of these additional benefits, right, Brent?
Yeah.
So what are some of those?
Well, so you have to be 62 years or older to begin these benefits.
Yeah, right? To be able to be eligible, right, for your spousal benefits, right?
And you have to be divorced from the worker who is claiming the benefit.
Yeah, right? So as an example, like if you basically, you know, we're talking right now about divorce benefits. So if you we're married and then all your divorce, like the divorce has to be final.
Right.
And you
right.
know, for you to have any eligibility at all for that, your ex-spouse's benefits, right?
Right. And then you have to have been married for over 10 years, right? So if you didn't make it to that 10-year period of time with that, with your ex-spouse, you're not eligible for this.
Yeah, and then you have to be unmarried, because the thing is, if you get remarried, some other rules kick in, right? So, like, and one thing that's a little caveat, if you've been divorced for more than 2 years, some of these benefits we talk about, you can claim even if your ex-spouse hasn't started taking benefits, right? But if it's been within 2 years, your ex-spouse does have to be taking benefits for you to be able to claim on their behalf. So we'll get into some of the details around that.
That's helpful. So if a person can answer yes to some of those, or I guess all four of those criteria, what additional benefits would then become available?
Yeah, I think a good thing to start with is understanding, first of all, Social Security at its core. So if you, as you work through life, you accumulate benefits, right, Brent? So you've got, like, you know, typically, you know, the old thing, you got to have 40 credit or 40 quarters of, right, you know, countable service, which just means, what, 10 years of work.
Yes. Yeah, right? You had to work for 10 years to become eligible for that.
Yeah. So you would then have what's called your own benefit, right? And so if you're married, you know, and you're doing that, your spouse is doing that, generally speaking, you're going to have different benefits over your lifetime, right?
Yeah, because you may have not worked as long as your spouse or vice versa, or you didn't have the same income over those periods of time, which also play into it.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes, like my mom didn't work until, you know, later years, so her benefit was greatly reduced from my dad's, who worked throughout my growing up, right? And so you have those situations too. There are some cases where one of the spouses has no benefit of their own, right?
Yeah, or a really small benefit, right? And so if you're married, then you would be eligible for half of your spouse's benefit in those cases that Dan's referring to.
Yeah, and so that's kind of what we're getting into. So the first thing to understand, if you check the box yes on all those four criteria, now you've got some choices to make, because now you get to compare what is my own benefit versus what is, what Brent was just saying, one half of my spouse's, ex-spouse's benefit, right?
Right.
And you make a determination of which one is higher, correct?
Yes.
But that's not quite the end of it, is it?
No. It's never the end of it with Social Security, because there's just a ton of different rules that come into play.
Yeah. One of the first ones is that, you know, so if you decide to take Social Security benefits before your full retirement age, so for most people, it's going to be between 66 and 67, depending, and it says it right on your statement. But if you take them early, you're going to take a reduction, right? That applies to both if you take half your spouse's benefit, ex-spouse's benefit, or your own benefit, right? So you have to understand that. So when you start looking at these things, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to take it right at 62. Well, regardless of which path you take, it's going to be reduced.
You're going to reduce at that point.
Yep. But there is one thing that your own benefit does that your ex-spouse's does not. And those are called delayed credits.
Right. So that's when you don't take it from your full retirement age and you allow it to continue to grow after that point, and it can continue to grow up until your 70 years of age, which is the maximum that you can do the delayed credits.
Yeah. So when you start looking at benefits, one of the things you know, Brent and I are big proponents of everything being within a plan. So when you're looking at this cash flow from Social Security, one of the things you have to understand is when you're dealing with a divorce situation like this, once you make your decision, you're kind of set in that decision. It's not, you can't really change it, right? So you have to look at it and say, okay, at full retirement age, what benefit would be higher, right? And so you could say, oh, you know, maybe my ex-spouse's is higher at that. But then you have to look and say, okay, what if I didn't take it at full retirement age and I let my own grow till 70? Now how do they compare?
Right.
And so, you know, when you look at that, if there's enough of a premium and you have other resources to use for your retirement income, that might be a better choice for you, right?
You're right, right. And you can only do that with your own benefit,
yep,
right? So you can only do the delayed, which the delayed, again, is if you wait after your full retirement age, which for most people is around 67 years of age, until 70, you can allow yours to continue to grow each of those years. And so you can't do that with your ex-spouse's benefit, but you can do it with your own.
Yeah, and that's really important to remember. And it used to be, before there was a law passed in 2015 where they made some pretty substantial changes to how you can claim benefits, it used to be, which this was a sweet deal, you could actually apply what was called a restricted application. and take your ex-spouse's benefit at full retirement age and take that up until you were 70, then switch to your maximized benefit at 70, which was a great deal, right? But that's just not available anymore. And a couple other things on there too. I love this one. Just in case you're one of those people that's been married to multiple other people for more than 10 years each. So keep that in mind. So like, you know, maybe you were married for 30 years, but it was three different people. I don't know. I mean, it could happen, right?
It could happen. It has happened.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could, and you could actually pick any one of those ex-spouse's benefits to have, and you obviously want that to be the highest income earner in that group.
Yeah. Yep. You'd have choices there. And the other last thing just to note is if you get remarried, generally you can't receive an ex-spouse's benefit any longer. Now you would be on your new spouses if they're, you know, you'd be working with their
record. In your example, if you're on to number four,
if you're on to number four, you might lose some benefit. Yes, I mean, yes. But I don't want to judge.
I'm digging the you know, like, well, it could happen, and then awkward pause. It has happened. good to understand these nuances, guys. Helpful information. So maybe let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about the other scenario here, where a person, instead of it being a divorce, a person has lost their spouse. What are some of the rules that need to be considered there?
Yeah, this one is just, there's a lot more to unpack here.
Yeah, so you want to look at, there's a few different scenarios that can play out, right? And so we want to kind of think through these. So one is losing a spouse after you've both begun receiving benefits. So, you know, if you've both begun receiving, we're going to talk about what that looks like. Losing a spouse with younger children would be a second one that we want to kind of look at what's available to you. And then losing a spouse before benefits have even begun.
Yep.
Right. So we're going to kind of talk through, we'll give a couple of examples with these just to help give you an idea of what that could look like.
All right. Well, let's start with number one, losing a spouse after you have both begun receiving benefits.
So Walter, we start with this one because it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And like we like easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy's good.
It is. So if you lose a spouse after you're both receiving benefits, the surviving spouse gets the higher of the two benefits.
Yeah.
Is how that works. So you are losing one of those benefits in that scenario, but it would be the lower amount.
Yeah. And it's interesting because one of the things that does happen, and you know, it's not super common, but there are cases where there's a substantial age difference. And so maybe the older person has been getting benefits, but the young person hasn't even started benefits yet. We're going to talk about that. That's a little different, right? Because their options are going to be much different to figure out. But this is a case where you're both on benefits. Let's say you're 73, 74, one person dies. Pretty simple. You're going to get the higher of the two.
Yep.
Okay. Nice one. It's that clean and simple, isn't it? I like that.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. So let's move on to someone that loses their spouse, but this time has young children. How does that change the game a little bit?
Yeah, this is fairly complicated because it's like most government things. It's not super easy to understand, but there's something called survivor benefits. Like if someone, like a younger person dies, you know, they've got kids and a spouse at home. And so there's a few different things that are available for that, right, Brent?
Yeah, so each person, each survivor of this would receive about 75% of the full retirement age benefit of the parent who passed away or the guardian who passed away in this situation. And there's a family maximum. So you can't have 15 kids and they're all going to get 75% of that. It doesn't work like that, but that gives you kind of an idea.
Yeah. The children are basically eligible up until they're 18, 19, if they're still in high school. And the surviving spouse actually is eligible for a benefit too, as long as the kids are under 16. Once they turn 16, the, you know, surviving spouse doesn't get anything up until, you know, they're eligible for regular benefits.
I mean, think about that. Like, who makes up these rules anyways? Like, I mean, I don't want to rant, but
yeah,
what in the heck? Like, a 16-year-old kid is probably the most expensive kid you can have.
Right.
Right? It's just seems bizarre to me, but whatever.
That's, yeah, I mean, it is really weird, yeah. And I don't fully understand all the kind of idea behind it. But like as an example of a, kind of an average full retirement age benefit might be like $2,500, right, for someone. Yeah. So 75% of that would be like $1,875 a month, right? And typically, and you know what? I would just tell everybody listening, if you go to SSA.gov and download your statement, and everybody should do that anyway, create an account, it actually breaks this down. It'll tell you like how much is available for a surviving parent or a child, and then it says the maximum family amount.
Yeah.
So it breaks it down, which is a little over, I think, two times from what I've seen. You know,
two times whatever that full retirement age benefit would be. So, like I said, if you have a bunch of kids, you're not, it's not going to work out where you're going to have a, this huge benefit,
right?
It's going to be each maybe two times what that benefit would be.
But I will tell you, it's a huge help.
Oh, yeah.
Huge help. We've seen different families that have had that benefit, and they've been able to really make sure, get through the period of time, you know, losing that spouse and everything. So it really is a good benefit.
I feel like all you need to know is the government once had the RMD rule kicking in at, what, like 70 and a half. Like, just whoever thought that was a wise idea, like, come on, just pick 70 or 71 and move forward.
Well, don't you think that was just a result of a negotiation?
Oh, sure.
One person wanted 71, the other 70. Okay, 70 and a half.
And that's done. That's where 16 and...
Yeah, maybe somebody wanted 14, someone wanted 18. They said, all right, we'll do 16-year-olds. Just meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it is funny. Like, you get it till 18 or 19 for the child.
Right.
Right? But for some reason, the parent of that child, like, doesn't get it once they're over 16.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. When it's really backward, the parent's still taking care of the kids.
Yes.
The only thing I can think of is they're saying, all right, the kid needs to go get a job at 16 and start contributing to the house, maybe. But
amen.
Man, well, there we got to think about it from the government side. They're probably thinking they need to go get a job so they can pay taxes.
Exactly. Exactly. They want to get that money much more quickly, 2 years earlier. Let's get it going.
That's awesome.
Love it. All right. Well, that leaves us, I guess, with our final scenario where someone loses their spouse without young children, but before they begin benefits. What are the nuances here?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So if you've lost your spouse, this is one of the weird ages, again, that comes up, and I don't know where this originates, but as early as 60, you can make a claim for spousal benefits, right?
Right.
Which is a lot different, but this is different in a lot of ways, because we talked about divorce and that whole one-half benefits. Well, when there's a deceased spouse, there's no one-half, is there?
No, no. And so if you do take it at 60, the person that filed, you would be reduced to 71.5% of the full benefit amount.
So that's your spouse's, right?
Yes.
So if your spouse was getting $2,000 or $3,000, you would, at full retirement, if you took it at 60, you're only going to get 71% of that amount, right?
Right.
And that's never going to change. It's never going to increase because that's the penalty for taking it early. So the longer you wait up until your full retirement age, which again, let's just use 67 for simplicity. It's going to be based on when you were born. It'll be on your Social Security statement. But so let's say at 67, if that benefit was $3,000, your spouse's, then you would get the full $3,000, right? If you waited till then.
Right.
And so that's a huge, huge thing. So it's really good to understand that.
And there's no increases on this. So we talked a little bit about those delayed credits. There's no additional increases on a survivor benefit after the full retirement age, or in this example, 67 years of age.
Yeah.
So you can't put it off until 70 and have that continue to go up.
Yeah. So let's kind of take a step back and think through this. So what we're saying is that, remember, more than likely you have your own benefit, right, from your work record. So you know what your benefits are, but now you also have your deceased spouse's benefits, and you can understand what theirs is at full retirement age. So you kind of can start looking at how much each of those numbers are. And that's what you have to consider when you start deciding how to take it. Because the unique thing about when you're dealing with a deceased benefit is that you don't always have to stay on one, right? So you can switch between your deceased spouse and your own. So there's strategy involved.
Right, right.
Where before, you kind of, once you started one, if it's divorce, you don't have much other option, right?
So give us a, like, what's a couple of scenarios with this?
Yeah, so we'll take one example. Let's say that the deceased spouse, their benefit was $2,800. Their full retirement age amount, so at 67, was $2,800 a month. And the widow that had survived, their benefit was $900. So obviously quite a bit less, right?
Yeah.
So what a lot of people would do, and sometimes you go into the Social Security office, they would tell you to do that. Hey, just take your spouse, your ex-spouse's. I know it's reduced at 60, but you're going to get $2,000 a month. That's a lot better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
And so then if you did that, your own benefit would never be used, because that $2,000 a month would always exceed, even if you waited till 70, your own benefit, right? So the widow's benefit would never get used, right?
Right.
And so, you know, basically you've locked in that $2,002 a month for the rest of your life, along with the cost of living insurance or cost of living adjustments that occur annually. And so is there a better way to do it? Well, there definitely is. So one of the things you could do instead, now you have to wait till 62. You can't start it at 60, but at 62, you could take your own benefit. So remember, that benefit was $900. It'd be reduced to $630.
Okay.
Yep. And then you could take that benefit up until your full retirement age 5 years later at 67. And then you would get the full $2,800 a month instead of the reduced amount on your spouse's, your ex or your deceased spouse's benefit. So the long-term result, and I know this is going out of ways, but it is important to understand, the average woman in this case, you know, let's assume the husband died first. In America, if they live to 65, they'll live to 90, right? So at 90, the long-term result is, if you did it the way that maybe they would recommended you did, which just took your spouse's benefit at 60, at 90, your monthly income would be $3,626 a month, compared to the other way, where you took your own first and let your deceased spouse's grow, would be $5,072 a month. You're talking about the difference of $43,000 a year compared to like 60.
Yeah. So that's a huge difference when you're, and who knows what the future holds, right? So if healthcare is needed, if any of those different things, like this decision, as we talked about at the beginning, really can change the overall outcomes, because you're talking about huge differences in your monthly income.
Yeah. And second scenario, which is kind of more common today, because we have a lot of situations where both spouses have worked, you know, their whole lives. So in this case, the deceased spouse's benefit still $2,800, but the person who's still living, the widow's benefit was $2,500, right?
So it's still a little less, but
a little bit less,
but they're pretty close.
So in this case, actually, the best outcome is to actually take at 60 that reduced benefit of $2,002 a month, and then let their own benefit grow until 70, at which point it would be $3,779 a month. So you get a $1,700 raise in essence, right?
Right.
And so the long-term result, looking out at 90 in that case, again, same amount as before, $3,626 if you did it the least optimal way, versus $5,615 a month. So now you're at $43,000 versus $67,000. Huge difference.
At age 90.
At age 90.
So, and in that second one, all you're really doing is, because you had your own benefit, right, that was close to your spouse's, it allowed you to get those, what we talked about, those delayed credits. So from 67 to 70, you were deferring yours and collecting on your spouse's through all those years, and letting yours continue to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
Right. And that benefit way out surpassed what your spouse's benefit was, because you waited on it.
Yeah. It's
while
massive.
Taking your,
yeah, you got taking, money along the way
while taking your deceased spouse's. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Are there any pitfalls that we should keep in mind if we find ourselves in this situation?
I mean, there's a couple. One of them is the earnings test, right, Brent? What's that mean?
Yeah, so if you're taking benefits, Social Security benefits, before the your full retirement age, you have to really be careful of how much you're earning. So currently, you can earn around $21,240 before your full retirement age. Otherwise, you're going to lose some of your benefit.
Yeah, so if you're still working and you're earning more than $21,000, this isn't your Social Security income. This is earned income, totally different, right? So you're saying, I can't earn more than $21,000 roughly, or I'm going to start paying back some of the benefits I'm getting.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good to know, because that might be a reason to delay it further.
And you can make more during the year that you actually reach full retirement age. So you can $56,250 in that year, but the years before that, I mean, $21,000 is not, if you're working, you're probably, even part-time, you're probably making around that amount of money.
Yeah.
So you really need to be cautious of that.
What other ones could get you?
Well, remarrying before the age of 60 could affect your survivor benefit.
So if I got, once I'm over 60, I could get remarried, I could keep them. But if it's like before that, I'm good chance I'm not going to have those available.
Right. Right. So if you've remarried after that age of 60, there shouldn't be any effect on it.
Yeah.
But it's just before you could lose that survivor benefit.
There's another one that I found that it kind of popped up, I thought was interesting. So we talked about divorce. We did not talk about divorce if your ex-spouse passes away unmarried. So like if your ex-spouse never got remarried, you're married to them longer than 10 years, you're checking all those other boxes off, and they passed away, then the same rules apply as if you were still married when your spouse passed. So what we just talked about, which is really interesting, right? Because, I mean, that can definitely happen. There's a lot of people that they just never get remarried, right?
Right.
And so something to consider in that fact. But I think that gets missed often.
Those are helpful notes. I think this has all been really helpful information. Can you guys take a minute to just, there's a lot of nuances, so can we maybe dial back a little bit, summarize things for the listeners, and just put it all in perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is this stuff is super complicated. I mean, even for Brent and I, we have to go back, review notes. We have software to help us because there's so many little nuances that you really have to be aware of. So don't try to go it alone. You know, always try to go out and talk to someone. For sure, preferably a certified financial planner. When you factor in divorce, losing a spouse, all these rules just get more and more complicated. Always think about this stuff within your plan. So like we always talk about, you know, working with a certified financial planner because they're going to take a planning first approach. And so this is one of your resources. Brent mentioned that earlier, much like your retirement account, much like, you know, if you have other income sources and things, they all need to be considered together to create the best outcome for you. And I mean, the thing is, we're available always. Like Brent and I, if you have questions like, hey, I've got this kind of funny situation, I just have a question, feel free to call us. There's no charge for us to answer a couple of questions for you. You know, reach out. And the one thing I'll say is that this is very common. So if you're listening to this, share this episode with someone you think this may affect, because the more they learn, it could make a much bigger impact on their lives than what you ever would even imagine.
No, really helpful. And it's easy to share these episodes too. You can copy the link if you're listening on the website there on averywealth.com and just send somebody the link or tell them where to find the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you may be tuning in from today. If you've got questions again for Dan Reese and Brent Oliver, certified financial planners at Avery Wealth, the number to call is 517-783-1695. That's 517-783-1695. And online at averywealth.com. We've linked to that contact info in the description of today's show as well, so you can find it very easily. Dan, Brent, thank you guys both for the help today, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again on the next episode.
Thanks a lot.
All right, come back and join us, everybody, right back here next time on the Retirement Cafe.
Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training, and the content of this communication has not been approved or verified by the SEC or by any state securities authority. The information contained in this podcast is intended to provide general information about Avery Wealth and its services. It is not intended to offer investment advice. Investment advice will only be given after a client engages our services by executing the appropriate investment services agreement. Information regarding investment products and services are provided solely to read about our investment philosophy and our strategy. You should not rely on any information provided on our website in making investment decisions. Market data, articles, and other content in this podcast are based on generally available information and are believed to be reliable. Avery Wealth does not guarantee the accuracy of the information contained in this podcast. Avery Wealth will provide all prospective clients with a copy of our current form ADV Part 2A disclosure brochure prior to commencing an advisory relationship. However, at any time, you can view our current form ADV Part 2A at advisorinfo.sec.gov. In addition, you can contact us to request a hard copy.